Welcome, everybody. A big hello to this week's episode of the Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me this week. I am your host, as always, wearing the tinfoil hat. My name is Tom Velasquez. Thank you for joining me this week as we delve into the politics, the supernatural, and the paranormal of the world around us. Now, this week's show, I'm gonna be honest with you. I've had a rough time this week. Things in Washington are out of control. They are absolutely out of control. We're going to talk about that this week. But I am so fed up with Jerry Nadler. I'm so fed up with him and the Democratic Party about what they're doing to the American people. They can't take the fact that they didn't find collusion. I am absolutely beyond frustrated, and I would love to have a face-to-face with Jerry Nadler, and this is what I would say.
And I want to look him straight in the eye, and I want to tell him what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, dickless, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey shit he is. Hallelujah. Holy shit.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. If you ever see me and Jerry Nadler in front of each other, that's pretty much going to be the conversation. That is how much disdain I have for that man right now. But we'll get into that later. The rest of the show is... it's going to be strange. I'm going to admit that, and I'm going to tell you that right from the get-go. But I had a listener by the name of Liz Wheeler from North Dakota, and she sent me an email, and she says, "Tom, I really want you to talk about this subject. It may sound strange, but please talk about it, and let's educate your listeners." And there's some topics that I get. I mean, there's a lot of topics that I get that I'm just not even going to touch. We won't get into that. But I read what she was talking about, and at first I'm like, oh, come on, Liz. This is way, way overboard. And then I started thinking, you know, this topic, what I'm going to talk about, almost brings me back to my childhood and my childhood beliefs. Everything is alive and everything has a spirit. We're going to talk about, and don't laugh, we're going to talk about trees. Yes, the growing tree thing. We're going to talk about, do they have feelings? Do they make friends? How do they react? We think that plant life and trees in general are very low on the intelligence chain. Maybe. We need to rethink that because there is science coming out that proves that these trees may be much, much more intelligent than we can even begin to fathom. I want to talk to you about that because it's strange, but it's incredibly interesting. So we're going to talk about that. I'm going to see if I have time left in the show to do some paranormal subjects. If not, we'll carry them over till next week. That's what we do on this show now. But as we do with every show, before we get to the main dish, we get to the appetizer. And the appetizer this week is the comment of the week. And this comes from Alejandro Ortiz from New Mexico. And Alejandro says, Tom, been listening to you for a while. Love the show. Not really into your politics, but I love the paranormal. And when you started talking about the different theories regarding UFOs, I was enthralled. Let me tell you my theory on the UFO phenomenon. Alejandro then goes on to say, I believe that UFOs are time machines, and their inhabitants, which we call aliens, are actually human beings from the future. The prospect of time travel does exist. It is a fact. I believe you can travel back in time. However, I believe future time travel is an impossibility due to the fact that we do not know the future. I believe that the inhabitants of these UFOs are actual time travelers checking in on us, trying to steer us away from the cataclysmic destruction that beheld them, that caused them to turn into what we call the Grays. That is my thought on the UFO phenomenon. Now, on the subject of politics, since you like to talk about it so much, I don't think I agree with this deep state thing. I don't think Trump is in a position to take control of the deep state because I don't believe the deep state exists. All government is corrupt. All or most politicians are corrupt. All of them are out to better themselves. They are not in it for the people. There's no deep state. Donald Trump won because he spoke to the heart of the white class working man and woman. Hillary Clinton didn't help by being a horrible candidate. However, with you going out saying military tribunals are coming up, that Obama, Eric Holder, Hillary Clinton are going to be arrested and tried for treason, to me that's a little far-fetched. I don't believe it's happening. I don't say your sources are completely wrong. I just say your sources may be reading into things a little bit too much. As I said, politicians are corrupt, politicians are greedy, and politicians only are out to serve their best needs. We as a people are in their way. It has nothing to do with the deep state. It has nothing to do with a secret government. I think the conspiracy theory of the deep state and the swamp being drained that you constantly talk about needs to be shut down. Because in a way, it's dangerous. Because you are talking about the possible trial and execution of very prominent public figures. In a way, it could be called slander. So let's tone it down a little bit, and let's just talk about the paranormal on your show, because that's what you are great at. I don't mean to make you feel bad, and I don't mean to disparage you. However, those are my thoughts. You say you want to hear every one of your listeners' thoughts, and those are mine. So thank you for doing a great show. I can't wait to hear more paranormal. Thanks for everything you do, and keep up the good work. Alejandro Ortiz, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Well, Alejandro, thank you. You know, I'm glad you love the paranormal aspect of the show, and I'm glad you think I'm very good at it. I'd like to think I am because I've spent a lot of time in the paranormal. I understand your apprehension of a deep state. I had that apprehension until I started doing research. Now, for me, supposedly slandering these people, I don't think it's slander. I think it's just me giving the information that I am being allowed to give to you from various sources. Whether or not it's true is up for you to decide. And that's where you come in. That's why I keep telling all of my listeners, open your mind. And what I mean by that, I don't mean just open your horizons, think about opening your mind. It means open your mind and do your own research. If you do research on the deep state and you do research on Donald Trump and the military and everything I've been talking about quote unquote draining the swamp, and you come to the conclusion that this is a bunch of hogwash, then that's fine. That's what you think. There are many people that have come to the conclusion that this may be a possibility, that something is going down. But that's not saying that I have not gotten emails from listeners that say, Tom, you're crazy. They echo Alejandro's sentiments. And I agree with Alejandro's sentiments that most, if not all, politicians are corrupt. All they're worried about is keeping power, and they're worried about themselves. They don't worry about us. I agree with you 100% on that, Alejandro. But that doesn't mean that there's not a branch of people, a little segment of politicians and military men and women that are not wanting that to be the case, that they want true politicians that are there to represent their people, represent their districts, and make America great again. Listen, you can say America was never great. You can use all the analogies you want. We were a slave-holding country. We were oppressive. We knocked off the Indians and took over the land. All that's true. I get that. But you're not looking at America. America, for when it was America, yes, we did horrible things to the Native Americans. We stole their land, and it's not cool. My families, on both sides of my family, weren't involved in that. They came here after all that was done. But they came here for one reason. Because America was a bastion of freedom, and it was the land of opportunity. America was the place. And it still is the place to be. Like California, the Beverly Hillbillies is the place you ought to be. Load up the truck and move the family. We were, and for the most part still are, the most prosperous nation that this planet has ever seen. And it is because of the genius of our forefathers in the Federalist Papers and the Constitution. The Constitution, which the Democrats want to get rid of, until it serves them by holding Attorney General Barr in contempt of court. We'll get into that later. We won't get into that now. But Alejandro, I agree with you. I 100% agree with you. Politicians are corrupt. They only have their best interests in mind. They don't care about us. It's blatantly obvious. But we continue to vote for the same people who don't care about us. And it's just by name recognition. I've said it a million times before. We get people going into the voting booths that have no business being in a voting booth because they've not done any research on the candidates. They just look down the list. Let's see. Ooh, I know Debbie Stabenow. I'll put a mark on her name and vote her in. They'll look at Jerry Nader and say, oh, yep, I know that name. Let's put him in. I mean, let's give the supporters of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez credit. They had no idea who she was. But they still voted her in. They're socialists. I mean, absolute socialists. So I agree with you, Alejandro. And I really, truly, going off of the politics, you make a very good point on the future of what the UFOs are. I mean, very well could be future time travel machines. Very well could be. We don't know. That was the whole point of that segment, is we have no idea what UFOs are. Some people say they're nothing, Tom. They're all natural, or they're all crazy people trying to get their 15 minutes of fame. Well, listen, these things have been cited for millennium. They don't go away. They do not go away. Now, there's a lot of instances where, people are trying to get their 15 minutes of fame. The people that, in the 1800s were seeing blimps and were seeing hot air balloons as UFOs, yes, those are the people that I don't believe actually saw a UFO. They may have seen something that they didn't understand, but those were the UFOs of the time. It's the paintings, the ancient paintings that depict flying objects in space and rockets and everything that shouldn't even be in the minds of our ancient ancestors. But they're there in paintings and frescoes and in rock wall drawings. They're there. So something's there. And that when you have pictures of beings that look like gray aliens with the bulbous head and the black eyes, I mean, come on. They drew what they saw. You know, these cave paintings, they're showing dinosaurs. So to me, how are you showing a dinosaur? Stegosaurus, for example. There's a cave painting, I believe in France, of a stegosaurus. How is a cave painting going to show a stegosaurus unless that person saw a stegosaurus? So either the timeline of humans being on the planet is wrong or the timeline of dinosaurs on the planet is wrong. Well, there's pictures and cave drawings and carvings of beings that look exactly like the gray aliens of today. They saw them. They drew, carved, painted everything that they saw. They saw antelope. They saw lions. They saw elephants. They saw, you name it. They drew pictures of it. But yeah, they drew that elephant. Yep, they drew that lion. No, they didn't draw that. That's a misidentification of that alien thing that looks like a gray alien. You can't pick and choose, science. If it's good on one side, it's got to be good on the other. If you're telling me they drew the lion because they saw the lion, they drew the elephant because they saw the elephant, you can't tell me they didn't draw a gray alien because they didn't see a gray alien. They drew what they saw. They carved what they saw. They painted what they saw. What are they? We don't know. Until they show themselves or make themselves known, we'll never know. We can only venture guesses. So Alejandro, thank you for your letter, your email. Thank you for your thoughts on the UFO phenomenon, and thank you for your thoughts on the deep state. You know, you may be right. I may be completely wrong on this. But I've done a lot of research. I trust my sources, and everything to me points to something big coming down the line. So I guess we just wait and see. Let me know what you think. I am very curious to see what the majority of my listeners think about this deep state, this military coup, whatever you want to call it. Let me know what you think. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Now, when we come back, I'm going to relieve some stress and I'm going to give you some valid factual points about why this whole charade in Washington that's going on right now is an absolute joke. Liberals, conservatives, Republicans, Democrats, listen to this and tell me if you don't agree with it. Sit back, relax, open your mind. You are listening to the Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I will be right back.
I'll never know, and I can find my time to have and my time to be. Looks like a change. Please, no leave, no rest to me. I can almost.
Hey, everybody, this is Tom Velasquez, the host of the Paranormal Patriot, which can be heard every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up. Are you intrigued by the paranormal? Do conspiracies excite you? Do you like to talk about ghosts, UFOs, or cryptids, or just politics in general? If so, my show, The Paranormal Patriot, is for you. Tune in every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up.
Space is filling up fast. Friday, September 20th and Saturday, September 21st, 2019, join me in Northern Michigan for another Out of This World event, the second annual Michigan UFO Contact. Spend the weekend listening and learning from special guest speakers who will be lecturing about UFO sightings, experiences, the contact phenomenon, and more. Also, be sure to check out their amazing vendor rooms for unique items, creative works, psychic readings, and much more. Some of your favorite vendors from last year are returning, plus they have added great new ones. Now, because everyone was so pleased with the location last year, they have decided to return to the beautiful Lakeside Resort and Conference Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan. The resort overlooks the largest inland lake in Michigan, is full of windows, and includes a walkout balcony from the conference and the vendor room. They have a fantastic restaurant inside of the hotel, and the rooms, they are the best. Now, this year promises to be another educational and refreshing event, but if you want to be a part of the Michigan UFO Contact, you need to sign up now. Rooms are going fast. Spaces are going fast. September 20th and September 21st, 2019, join me at the Lakeside Resort and Conference Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan, for the Michigan UFO Contact. And when you get there, tell them the Paranormal Patriot sent you.
I said, sometimes the music just takes over. It even happens to me when I'm totally sober. And if it would be a woman, I swear I'd love her. Love her for being a genius. Sometimes the music just takes over. It even happens to me when I'm totally sober. And if it would be a woman, I swear I'd love her.
All right, I had to play some reggae to get me in a better mood because I am absolutely fed up with the bureaucratic BS going on in Washington, D.C. right now. The Democrats have called the situation in Washington right now a constitutional crisis. The reason they're doing that is because they have put all of their chips on the table regarding the Mueller report. The Mueller report came back saying there was no collusion, no obstruction of justice. Now there's a constitutional crisis. They now want to impeach. They want to remove Attorney General William Barr from his position because they believe he is in cahoots with Donald Trump. They're saying we do not have access to this. They're hiding things. William Barr has released the full report, the full Robert Mueller report. The only redactions in there are two sentences, two lines, and seven partial lines. Those are the only things that are redacted out of that whole report. Two lines and seven redactions out of a 400 and I believe 58 page report. And the only reason those are redacted is because it's the law. They are regarding a trial or something to do with somebody that they can't let out in public. They have to redact them. The Democrats called for the Mueller report to be released. They released it. They said, oh, this is too redacted. We need the full report. They got the full report. There are two lines and seven partial lines that are blocked out. And they are taking that and saying that they are hiding something. William Barr is just the devil. He's the devil with Donald Trump trying to subvert what happened, trying to alter history and alter what the Mueller report said. Well, now, don't you think, honestly, Democrats, anybody that is a Democrat or anybody that thinks this is a legitimate constitutional crisis, ask yourself, do you not think Robert Mueller would not come out and say, hey, yeah, there's more to this report than they're letting on? Robert Mueller, he hasn't said a word other than the fact that he's whining because Attorney General Barr didn't put in the opinions of Robert Barr that he included on the end of the report where it said, Donald Trump's a bad man. Donald Trump's not a nice guy. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not a crime. That is not what William Barr's job is. His job is to determine whether or not a crime was committed. Ladies and gentlemen, a crime was not committed, according to Robert Mueller. Unfortunately, the Democrats cannot see through that. So they went ahead and they voted
because William Barr said, you know what? I'm done. I'm done with this stuff. This is ridiculous. So he didn't show up Thursday. So the Democrats decided, let's put a vote to put William Barr in contempt of this committee. Jerry Nadler, and I've probably called him every other name other than Jerry Nadler to begin this show, and I wish I had a producer standing in front of me saying, hey, dummy, that's not his name. So if I've called him Nadler, Nadder, Nagler, Neuter, whatever you want to call him, Jerry Nadler, he has the gall to sit here and try to defend this contempt vote. This is the same Jerry Nadler that couldn't find Bill Clinton in contempt for obstruction of justice during the Monica Lewinsky trial and walked out on a contempt vote on Attorney General Eric Holder when Attorney General Eric Holder was found to be holding back 1,300 pages of the Fast and Furious scandal during the Obama administration. Yes, yes, ladies and gentlemen, there were scandals in the Obama administration, unbeknownst to us, because the media tells us there were no scandals during the Obama administration. Yes, the Fast and Furious was a scandal. Eric Holder knowingly withheld 1,300 pages of documents that he was ordered to turn over. But Jerry Nadler walked out on a contempt vote for Attorney General Holder. But now this is what he has to say about voting for holding William Barr in contempt. Listen to this.
We cannot have a government where all the information is in the executive branch, where the American people and the Congress are stonewalled as the information that they need to make decisions and to know what's going on. It's an attack on the ability of the American people to know what the executive branch is doing and to have responsible government. It is an attack on the essence of our democracy, and we must oppose this with every fiber of our being. We've talked for a long time about approaching a constitutional crisis. We are now in it.
So where were these thoughts when Eric Holder was holding back 1,300 pages on the Fast and Furious scandal? Those weren't his thoughts then. He just walked out. But now what he just told you, listen to me, liberals, and listen to me, mainstream media. This is an out-and-out lie. 100% factual lie. He is sitting there telling you that the executive branch, which is the Trump administration, is stonewalling you from learning the truth, that all the information should not be in the hands of the executive branch. Ladies and gentlemen, William Barr has been more than forthcoming in his release of the Mueller report. Seven redactions. Seven partial two-line redactions. If these people would read the Mueller report, they would realize that this is just a charade. But that's all it is to them. It's a charade. This is just another ploy to try and drag Trump's name through the mud. Try to drag anybody associated with Trump through the mud. This is not even remotely close to anything that should be looked at in the media. But yet you have on CNN and MSNBC and NBC, CBS, you have these quote-unquote legal scholars saying that, yes, William Barr should be held in contempt. He should be impeached. Ladies and gentlemen, if William Barr released the information that is redacted, that would be breaking federal statute. That would be breaking federal law. So in other words, the Democrats are holding William Barr in contempt for not breaking the law. That is how preposterous this is. That is how preposterous the mainstream media is, because they're running with this. That is how preposterous and how brainwashed the left wing of this country is. And that includes the liberals and the Democrats that vote for these people. You are being brainwashed. You are being programmed. Listen, I've said it a million times. Donald Trump, he may not be a nice guy. He may not be the most classy guy. He may be an absolute jerk. But you know what? That's not against the law. That is not a criminal offense. You cannot prosecute somebody for being a jerk. If that were the case, 90% of the country would be imprisoned. You cannot prosecute that. William Barr is being told you need to prosecute that. He can't, and he shouldn't. William Barr is now fed up. He didn't go Thursday. He said, I'm done. Donald Trump put an executive order in, and there's all the analysts are out there saying this is ridiculous. They didn't mind when Obama went around the Constitution for the Dreamers, for the illegal aliens. They didn't mind that. That's what a president does. He makes decisions like that. But when Trump says, you know what, I'm done with this. The reason, let me tell you this. The reason Trump put an executive order to stop the BS that is going on right now is because he's done with it. Not because he's afraid that they're going to find anything. Trust me, it was 2 years and billions of dollars worth of wasted money. They couldn't find anything. All the Democrats are doing is trying to prolong this, waste more money, and waste more time. He is putting an executive order in to just stop it now. Just stop. It's done. Liberals, Democrats, realize this. That is what is going on. He's not being nefarious. He's not being malicious. He says, I'm done. We're done wasting the taxpayers' money over something ridiculous. If you had something, show me. You couldn't show anybody. You could not show the American people any type of collusion, any type of obstruction of justice, but you still want to go after it. So now I'm done playing. Executive order, we're done. We're done wasting the taxpayers' money. Donald Trump, thank you. So I want to end this segment with this clip. This clip is just a few years old. It's from Nancy Pelosi. And she is talking about how evil the Republicans are by wasting everyone's time. Now, I want you to listen to what she's saying and then think right now what the Democrats are doing. Listen to this and listen to how eerily similar they are.
What we have seen is a shameful display of abusive power by the Republicans in the House of Representatives. Instead of bringing job creating legislation to the floor, the transportation bill, they are holding the Attorney General of the United States in contempt of Congress for doing his job. These very same people are holding him in contempt, are part of a nationwide scheme to suppress the vote.
So it was okay for you Democrats to do it this past Thursday, but when the Republicans tried to do it back when Eric Holder was Attorney General, they were just trying to stonewall everybody, not putting any effort into anything good for the country. Does that not sound familiar? Has the Democratic-controlled Congress ever, have they done anything good other than try to destroy Trump since they've been placed into office? All it's been is investigation after investigation, whitewash after whitewash on Trump. They've not put forth anything of any substance to help better the country. That is where we are right now. And it is infuriating that the politics in this country are so, so bitterly divided. These people have nothing better to do than to try and get rid of Trump. That's their main agenda. Their main agenda now is not to do anything to help the country. Their view is, well, the way we can help the country is getting rid of Trump. They're not putting forth any legislation that will lower taxes. They're not putting forth any legislation to help the crumbling infrastructure, anything to promote business. They're not doing anything but bashing Trump. I'm tired of it. The majority of Americans are getting tired of it. Polls are showing that people are getting tired of it. And we know how I feel about polls, but listen, knowing what I know and talking to the people I talk to, people are upset. Even Democrats are getting upset because nobody is doing anything. The country is literally at a standstill unless Trump says, you know what, we're just going to do it. We're just going to do this. That's the only time things get done, because now nothing is getting done because anything Trump wants to do is being stonewalled. And yes, I understand. I get it. The Republicans do the same thing. That's my point. There is such a divide in politics right now. It's not about the common good for the people. It's about the common good for the party, and we have to eliminate that. How do you eliminate that? By getting rid of the lifelong politicians. That includes the Democratic frontrunner, Joe Biden, who has completely surpassed Bernie Sanders in polling data right now. And again, polls, you know how I feel. But there is a lot of momentum with Joe Biden. But now Joe Biden, I just want to make this final point. Joe Biden says it should be every illegal immigrant's right to vote for representation in this country. In other words, it should be right for an illegal immigrant to vote for the president or the Democrats of this country. Because why do you think, and this, listen, this, it makes complete sense. Why do you think the Democrats want to get illegal immigrants to vote? Because the illegal immigrants know that the Democrats are giving them everything they need. They're giving them free housing, free health care, free schooling, free food, free whatever. That's why the Democrats pander to the illegal immigrants. That's why they want them to come so they can get their votes. That's why they want them to vote. People, wake up. This isn't about you and I. This is about power. The ones with the power control everything. The Democrats, the Republicans, they want the power. I honestly, truly believe, and a lot of people are not going to believe me on this, but I truly think President Trump wants what's best for this country, not what's best for him. That's my opinion. Let me know what you think. Contact me, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. We're going to come back and we're going to relax. I promise you, we're going to relax. We're going to talk nature. I mean, you got to relax when you talk nature. So sit back and really open that mind right now, because nature, everybody loves nature. You're listening to The Paranormal Patriot.
Hey.
My name is Tom Velasquez.
If life was an album that stuck on repeat, we were just in the loop, stuck in between. Feeling that needles, can feel in my heart that is feeble. It's feeling like leaving is painful, like even just seconds apart was the evilest thing. Yeah, and I'm evil Knievel. To get over love could prove to be lethal, but jumping your bones, my church and cathedral, like bodies on bodies. Yeah, bodies on bodies. Yeah, thinking that probably that love could tell in the end. Yeah, but then again, if it went thin again, it would be hella tense. It would be hella tense. Made all these elephants in the room, but I can understand what you had to do.
Saturday, January 15th from 2 to midnight at the Mothman Museum, 400 Main Street, Point Pleasant, West Virginia. Join the para expedition teams and special guest guide Steve Ward as they explore all the weird and strange that Point Pleasant has to offer. The expedition will include a tour of the Mothman Museum, a lecture from Steve Ward exploring the original sighting areas and the site of the Silver Bridge disaster, and also a nighttime investigation of the TNT area. Again, Saturday, June 15th from 2 to midnight at the Mothman Museum, 400 Main Street, Point Pleasant, West Virginia. Be there for the expedition Mothman. And as always, when you get there, tell them the Paranormal Patriot sent you. Going to talk about something strange, but something that deep down I have, I think, believed since I was a young child, and that is that everything that is alive has some sort of a spirit, has some sort of a intelligence, I guess, an intelligence. And again, Liz Wheeler sent me a request to talk about this on the show. And I, at first, I'm like, no way, this is crazy. But again, I try to do research on a lot of stuff during the week. And I did some research on this because for some reason, it just intrigued me. I put it down and it just kept popping up in my head. So I said, yeah, I'm going to look at this. And it makes complete sense to me. And again, it might be because of how I felt as a child that everything that was alive, or that is alive, I should say, has a spirit, has an essence, whatever you want to call it, it's alive. And this comes from a German forester, author, and tree expert who put out a documentary called Intelligent Trees with Suzanne Simard. His name is Peter Wohlleben. He is an ecologist. I'm sorry, Susan Simard is the ecologist from the University of British Columbia. But Peter, he has this to say about trees in general. He says they can feel pain. They have emotions such as fear. He says trees like to stand close together and cuddle. They love company and like to take things slow. Now, he, again, is a German researcher who has not only enjoyed being surrounded by trees, but he's devoted his life to studying them. He says there is, in fact, a friendship among trees. They can form bonds like an old couple where one looks after the other. He says trees, they have feelings. But not only that, he says trees are believed to have something similar to what we call a heartbeat. Now, again, I know how this feels and how it sounds. Like, Tom, they're trees. They're just plants. But again, are they not living? Are they not growing? They have, they're intelligent to the point that they will grow during a certain time of year and they will move towards the sun. But now, Dr. Andras Zelinsky at the Aarhus University, I completely tore that up, but at a university in Denmark, he used a laser scanning technique to measure the exact location of branches and leaves of 22 trees and shrub species. Now, last year, he published his observations of substantial unexpected movement cycles. Now, science has found that some trees raise and lower their branches several times in the course of the night. Now, this is science, but it makes sense. This is indicating a cycle of water and sugar transportation, which is like their own version of a heartbeat. Now, according to Zelinsky, he said, we detected a previously unknown periodic movement of up to 1 centimeter or 0.4 inches in cycles of 2 to 4, 6 hours. The movement has to be connected to variations in water pressure within the plants, and this effectively means that the tree is pumping. Water transport is not just a steady state flow, as we previously assumed. Now, he said, during the night, some trees lowered their branches by up to 10 centimeters or 4 inches before raising them again with the sun. The process is slow, so slow and subtle that until recently, we thought only certain families of trees did it, but we are now learning it is more widespread. Now, most distinctively, a magnolia goes through 3 full cycles of adjusting its branches, indicating changing water pressure and therefore pumping during the course of the night. So what they're saying is it's equivalent to our heart pumping the blood through our bodies. The trees are raising and lowering their limbs. And it's not just one limb, it's not just two limbs, it's every limb on their body. They're raising and lowering that to adjust and essentially pump the sugars in water through their tree system. It really is like a heartbeat. So I want to read to you on the last segment of the show an interview that Yale University did with Peter. And again, he was trained to look at trees exclusively when he was younger. He was trained to look at them as an economic commodity. But after joining a German forestry agency and managing a community forest, he soon became disillusioned with practices like clear cutting. He became disillusioned with practices of chemical use and mechanical harvesting that put short-term profits before sustainability. So what he did is he started to look at trees in a different way. So what I'm going to do for you is kind of rehash the interview and not an interview type form. But I want to let you know what he says and what he, more importantly, what he's found. So it starts off that he began his life as a forester, and he knew the hidden meaning of trees about as much as a butcher knows about animals. And Peter went on to say, forestry students are taught how to harvest wood, what machines to use, how to sharpen the blade of a chainsaw, how to sell the timber, what price to expect, but that's about it. Now, as a young forester, he said, he was told to make clear cuts, to use insecticides, and so on. But then he thought, wait, I'm someone who wants to protect nature, and here I am asked to destroy it. So he visited some other districts that were operating in more of an eco-friendly way, and he thought, that's the way the woods should be managed. But the problem he was still having was thinking of trees as a commodity, as something to sell, not as living beings. He had to learn from the people of the community where the forest is located how to take a closer look at the trees to see them as unique individuals. He started reading the latest scientific research that began to present him with a new picture of how trees are highly sensitive in social beings. Now, he says that we all learn in school that evolution advances by pitting each individual against every other in a struggle for survival. As a forester, he learned that trees are competitors that struggle with each other for light and for space. But now we are learning that individuals of a species are actually working together, that they are cooperating with one another. One thing that a mother tree does is suckle their children. They feed the young tree just enough sugars produced by its own photosynthesis to keep it from dying. Trees in a forest of the same species, they are connected by the roots, which grow together like a network. Their root tips have highly sensitive brain-like structures that can distinguish whether the root that it encounters in the soil is its own root or the root of another species. If it encounters its own kind, and scientists don't yet know how this happens, but they have measured with radioactive marked sugar modules or molecules that there is a flow from healthy trees to sick trees. I want to say that again. Scientists have learned that these trees, when they come in contact with a same species, they have put radioactive marked sugar molecules. The scientists have learned that there is a flow from healthy trees to sick trees so that they will have an equal measure of food and energy available. Tell me that's not intelligence. Now, he says, if a sick tree dies, they fall, which opens a gap in the canopy. The climate becomes hotter and drier, and the environment becomes worse for the trees that remains. He says in the forest that he manages, the students did a study that shows that parts of the forest that grew naturally were 3 degrees Celsius cooler than those that are managed and disturbed by humans. Now, this is a huge thing when considering the quote-unquote climate change. The world is trying to limit warming from climate change to 2 degrees. But when you look at it, forests can do better than that. forests create their own microclimate. When you thin forests, when we thin forests, the temperature rises, the humidity goes down, evaporation increases, and all the trees begin to suffer. So trees have at stake in supporting one another to keep all members of the community healthy. Now, in the interview, they asked him, you tell one amazing story in the book about trees keeping neighboring stumps alive. Now, think about it. We cut down a tree and leave the stump. We think the tree is dead, right? Well, according to Peter, there is a story of one beech tree that was cut 400 to 500 years ago by a charcoal maker. However, the stump is still alive. And what they found was green chlorophyll under the thick bark. The tree has no leaves to create sugars, so the only explanation that has been supported by is that neighboring trees have for more than four centuries helped keep this tree alive. Now, Wallaben went on to say that we know that trees exchange information. He says that we have learned that when one tree is attacked by insects, we can measure electrical signals that pass through the bark and into the roots and from there into fungi networks in the soil that alert nearby trees of danger. The trees pay for this service by supplying the fungi with sugars from their photosynthesis. And the fungi, in return, protect their host trees from attacks by other dangerous species of fungi and contamination by heavy soils or heavy metals. Trees also send chemical signals through the air when they are attacked by insects. Nearby trees receive these signals and have time to prepare their defenses. Now, scientists like Suzanne Simard, who teaches forestry at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver, has labeled this amazing web communication the Wood Wide Web. Now, also, as if that wasn't enough, Peter has said trees remember their experiences. He said, we had a heavy drought here. In subsequent years, the trees that had suffered through the drought consumed less water in the spring so that they had more available for the summer months. In other words, trees make decisions. They can decide things. We can also say that a tree can learn, and it can remember a drought its whole life and act on that memory by being more cautious of its water usage. Now, I mentioned earlier that there are friendships between trees. Now, Peter has said in about 1 in 50 cases, we see these special friendships between trees. He says trees distinguish between one individual and another. They do not treat all other trees the same. He said, just today I saw two old beeches standing next to each other. Each one was growing its branches turned away from the other rather than toward each other as if they were mad at each other. In this way and many others, trees take care of each other. Tree friends take care of each other. This kind of partnership is well known to foresters. They know that if you see such a couple where the trees are intertwined and it's like they're embracing each other. The foresters know that when they see such a couple, they are really like a human couple. And you have to, if you chop one down, you have to chop the other one down, because if you don't chop the other one down, it will die. Trees have just as much character as humans do, according to Woolburn. They also exercise independent judgment, which can differ. If trees lose their leaves too early, they may not produce enough food for a long winter. If they keep them on too long, they may get caught in an early snowstorm, and the weight of the snow can break their branches. Some trees of the same species and age living right next to each other shed their leaves weeks before their neighbors. No one is sure why they choose to do this earlier and others later, but it shows that there really are differences of character that we really can't account for. So again, all of this information can lead to trees are doing what they need to do to survive. It's adaptive survivability or specificity. However, the way that they interact, it to me, and this is my belief, everything that is living has a soul. Everything that is living has an essence. I absolutely am terrified of spiders and snakes, but I will not kill one because that has a soul. That has an essence. I don't want to take that away. Who am I to take that away? I, at a young age, had a feeling, just a gut feeling, that trees and plants were more than we give them credit for. There is scientific proof that when you're growing, you can grow two plants right next to each other. One plant, you can give them words of encouragement, loving words, and it will grow and it will bloom. The next plant next to it, you can yell at it and tell it it's horrible, and it will wither and it won't grow and it won't bloom. These are living creatures, living beings. It's the only way I can say it. The whole planet is alive. I know what you're thinking. Tom, you're nuts. Trees are just plants growing and they have no desire to make friends or anything. I disagree. I think we don't give the other inhabitants of this planet enough credit. In plants, they feel pain. I remember growing up as a kid, I'd go fishing with my dad and I'd put a hook in the worm or a hook in the minnow and I'd be like, oh, come on, that hurts. And they're like, ah, fish don't feel pain, worms don't feel pain. And I believed it because that's what I was told. But when I put a hook through that worm or I put a hook through that fish, that fish, that little minnow is freaking out because it's in a lot of pain. We like to think that we are the end all be all. We like to think that we are the hierarchy, the epitome of this planet. I'm telling you, there are times that I think we are the lowest form of life on this planet, both intellectually and culturally. I truly think everything alive, in plants, trees, grass, you name it, has a soul. We can look at our dogs and cats, and when they pass on, we bury them and say, oh, they're going to cat and dog heaven. What happens to a tree when it dies? It's dead. Why doesn't that have a soul? Why doesn't that? Is that not alive? Is that not living? We need to look at it that way. I personally talk to my plants. I know I'm crazy. I guess you could say pet my plants, stroke my plants like a cat. You know, I'll rub a tree, and I do not. My son, last summer, was beating on a tree with a baseball bat, and I yelled at him, stop that. How would you like to be beat with a baseball bat? You know, these things are alive. Prove me wrong. Tell me wrong. Tell me I'm crazy. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. That'll be it for the show this week. I appreciate you listening. Thank you for listening to my rage of the Washington fiasco. Let me know what you think of it. More importantly, I am very curious to see what people think about trees, plants. Are they alive? Let me know. ghostseeker4@charter.net. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot, and I thank you for joining me this week. Until we talk next week, this has been your host, Tom Balassis, taking off the tinfoil hat. I will talk to you next week. Thanks for listening to The Paranormal Patriot. But you already know what it is. Why you tripping, flipping out like I'm a chauvinist pig? Hoping that this could turn to what was never meant to be. I've been honest from the jump. You were chasing misery, living a lie. Should've picked a different guy. Heart emojis turned to tears in a blink of an eye. Said it was cool, we only in it for the fun of it. Rough sex, cuddling, nothing in public. Must have been extra rounds, make you wanna settle down. Used to bounce when we were done, now you wanna stick around. I get it, the dudes you used to don't move the way the malls do. Now you're stressing me, begging for me to call you. No, baby, I ain't gonna be able to.